on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of InvestTalk. It is now March 3rd, 2015. 2 months have passed of this year, a market year. And we've had an interesting 2 months. First month was pretty much down, sideways, not very good. Second month started off that way. And then the last half of the month started to peak back up, which we are now really close to the 52-week highs on the various indexes, meaning that they peaked, if you remember right at the end of December. And now we're really close to that same peak, but we're a little bit above it, just a tad. So that's kind of interesting. InvestTalk here as a source of information, as you know. We keep telling you it every day. We hope we are a source of information. And we hope that the time you spend with me is worth it. We hope it's a good investment of your time and money. We devised our InvestTalk Insider program, InvestTalk Insider program, to be a way to distribute some detailed information, more detailed information than just on the radio, on different money topics. And, of course, those topics are ones we think are important. But I wonder if most of our listeners are aware of just how much material is available there. Remember, you can become an InvestTalk Insider for nothing. It doesn't cost you anything. These are info sheets and documents that we generate ourselves to be easy to read and straight to the point for you. It's not big, long stuff, no. Here are some of the documents that are there. We have a dividend-focused ETF list. We have a commodity ETF list. You've heard us talk about real estate investment trusts. We have a brief list of real estate investment trust lists that should at least be on your radar. All these lists should be on your radar. We have a tech ETF list. We have 8 tech ETFs that we think you should consider have on your watch list. We have a hedging vehicle list is now available. A short ETF list to short the market. A dividend growth watch list. And I'm just talking about a list of things you could buy. We have charting lessons, double tops, triple tops, different lessons of what to look for. Just short one-page things that are really easy. So you got to be, these are things that you use as resources, as we've said. And that doesn't mean you go out and buy everything on these lists. That's not what it's for. It's for you to have some easy access to things that would take you a lot of research to ferret out. We ferret it out for you. Doesn't mean you buy them. Maybe you shouldn't be buying some. People have been chasing yields, dividend yields now for several years because everybody loves it. You got to be careful. But on our dividend growth list, they've been growing the dividends for at least 10 years in a row, increasing dividends. For these, so again, to have access to any of all these info sheets, just sign up at investtalk.com and be an InvestTalk Insider. It costs you nothing. investtalk.com through 2 T's. During this hour, I hope to talk to you directly. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART. Now it's time for the Q&A question right now. Let's take this first question from our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, I'm 82 years old. I had assets of about $4 million, down to about $2.5 million now, and I'm in fairly good health, and I did have an income of about $150,000. It's now slightly over $100,000. I'm in stock, and I'm in mutual funds. I got Social Security, of course, and IRA. I'm looking at the market. Should I invest, or should I stay where I am? I can enjoy life with what I have, but I still have children I'd like to leave a legacy to. So I don't know. Thank you.
Okay, well, I think you basically stay where you are, if you want my personal opinion on this. But I also would maybe take 10% of that money and invest it in the market. Because you want growth, and maybe you can grow it enough, just that 10%, to grow it enough, maybe, to help offset draining the money so that you can leave someone money, your next generation or the generation after that. I always think, even no matter how old, you should have some exposure to the market. I just do. But I also think it's very comforting not to worry about it. You see, you don't want to have worries about it. And at 82, and you're living comfortably, you don't have any worries. And that's a nice place to be. And I would not want you to move away from that necessarily. But the money also has to live. If you're 82, chances are very high you're going to be in your mid-90s before you pass away, maybe 100. So the money does have to last, too. And for that, you need some growth of that money. You don't want to take it down too fast. That's just my opinion. You can find other opinions, by the way, from all kinds of different sources. But my opinion is, you know, basically you want an income portfolio producing income, and you also want some growth. And to get the growth, take a piece of that money, just a little piece, and put it in some kind of growth vehicle. Of course, we'd be happy to manage that. But I, you know, for instance, if you came to me, I wouldn't let you put that all that money. You said, hey, do what you want with it. I would not put you in aggressive growth stocks. That's not proper for you. But 10% of that, 15% of that, I could see that. Good call. And you've done great. Pat yourself on the back for having that kind of foresight to have that kind of money in retirement. That's really good. Should you consider indexed or active products? Remember, indexing is done very well, but should you consider active and index? Maybe you should have both. Maybe that's the answer. Blending index and active strategies. That's going to be one of our talking points today. Index and active strategies. I also want to talk about the industrial re-revolution in the United States and some of the things that we may have to do to spark it, because, you know, it's not going to go by itself. We are, and I've talked about this in the past, but, you know, I think we need to do a little bit more work to make it happen. Data shows strong consumers but weak businesses. I wanted to talk about that. And Roth or regular IRAs, which one is better? And why the housing market could really take off this year. Those are things I want to get to. A couple few of these I wanted to get to the other day and wasn't able to. But I like these topics, and I think I need to share them with you. What happened to the market today? Down. It was up yesterday, down today. Down 85 points on the Dow, down 28 on the NASDAQ, down 10 on the S&P. And it was significantly larger down earlier and came back a little bit during the latter part of the day. So remember, it was up yesterday nicely. Volatility is not that volatile. I think if the Dow doesn't move up 100 or close 100 up and down, it's not that volatile. But intraday, it was pretty volatile. I'm a little concerned about complacency in the market. Everybody thinks the market's just going to continue marching up. It doesn't do that. It does it for a while, but it will give back some of its gains before it settles back down, then go back up. I mean, it's just the way the market is, the nature of the beast. You know, so just be aware of that, and don't always get too complacent. Understand what's happening. Okay, let's check our portfolio review dates in Northern and Southern California. These are informal meetings with individuals about their retirement portfolios. First in La Jolla, March 11th, then San Ramon, March 17th, followed by San Jose on March 18th. We will remind you that these are not sales presentations. I do not take the opportunity to try to sell you something. I will talk about our portfolios, but most of it is about you and what you want to do. Where are you in your life situation? Where are you in financial situation? And we talk about it. See how we can get to a better place for retirement for you. So to reserve your time, just go to investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you, your thoughts on this security called SLCS Silica Holdings.
Sure, U.S. Silica Holdings. Is this something you want to think about buying, or you already own it?
No, I'm thinking about buying it.
Okay, it produces commercial silica used in a variety of applications, including glass, fillers, chemicals, and ceramics. And they are one of the things they are involved in is, of course, is fracking. And many people say, what? Well, they use a lot of silica and sand to pump down on those holes in the ground to crack the clay to get to the oil. So that's one of their things they do. They 2014, they made $2.42. This year, they're going to make $1.66, and next year, $2.05. So they're going to go down 30%, then rebound next year. Sales, however, have been going up pretty strong quarter after quarter after quarter. So earnings are taking a little bounce down this year, but then we'll recover next year, according to this. I kind of like it. I like the chart. I like the stock. I like what I see. This chart, of course, the stock fell from $70 down to, you know, what, 20, what, 5 or 6? And you would probably say, I mean, I think intraday it got as low as 22. But you would say, well, why do you like a stock that's fallen from 70 all the way down there? And my response would be, because it fell from 70 all the way down there, and the earnings and sales are still doing pretty good. In other words, the dip in earnings of 30% for 2015 is already built into the price. They already know that. So they beat up the stock because of it. Now we got a recovery. If it's going to recover next year, well, don't you want to buy something that looks pretty cheap? And I mean, it's carrying a 13 PE. It's a $33 stock. It's going to make $2.05. I kind of like that.
Are there any resistance or supports nearby that you were saying that if it falls to that angle?
Yeah, if it falls below about $25, remember it's at 33, you definitely got to get out because I don't know where it's going to go. Because that's the bottom. It put in that bottom over a couple-month period. And so now it's at 30, so it's coming 33, so it's coming off of that bottom. Now, they're going to have a lot of resistance right around the low 40s somewhere, 42 or so in that range, 40 to 45. Let's call it 44, 45. There's going to be a lot of resistance once it gets up there. Unless the economy takes a dive, I think it's going to get up there.
Wonderful.
Okay? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. SLCA is the symbol, and it's U.S. Silica Holdings. I would look into it further, of course, but I kind of like the stock. Kind of like it. Let's go to Ben in San Francisco. You want to talk about Alibaba? And that was funny because I was going to mention that today. How you doing, Ben?
Yeah, doing good. That's pretty much my question. If it's the kind of stock I can hold and I want a little bit of an aggressive stock in my portfolio, I was thinking about Alibaba over the next 5 years, 10 years. What do you think about it?
In the 5 or 10 years, you could buy the stock and you shouldn't have any problems with it. Remember, Alibaba came out public not that long ago at $68, and today it's at, that was the IPO price, $68. You could never buy that stock at $68 unless you got in at IPO. It was, it came out right around, what, $90? Mid-90s was a day trading day the first day. Now it's at 81. It's at a low. It's at its low since it's been in existence. So, Ben, I think long-term it's going to work. It's just whether or not this is how far it's going to fall because it's at a new low today. I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me right now with your money topic, whatever it is, on Invest Talk, which is the name of our show. I'm ready for your call, and call me right now.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Why not make use of this free risk analysis tool? It just takes about 5 minutes, and you don't have to sign up for anything, but it'll be a first step to learning how your current retirement portfolio lines up with your own risk tolerance. Look for the blue box and free risk analysis tool on InvestTalk.com.
888-992-4278. You can call anytime you want. We're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Outcome investing, blending index and active strategies. And you've heard me on this radio. People call me and email me, and what's the best way to get started in investing? And I always tell them, indexing. Buying an index, keep it for many, many years. Remember, I'm a money manager, and I'm telling you to go buy something. Don't hire a money manager and just keep it for many, many years. doesn't seem that that supports my side of the business, does it? The problem with index, and I've told you this before, is that it works great in a bull market. Bear markets, people have trouble staying. They can't control their emotions. And therefore, that's where I come into play. And when you get close to retirement and you want some income from your assets and you want to take less risk, that's where I come in. You know, but otherwise, you can buy indexing. Now, you can also blend the two. I like that philosophy as well. In other words, you basically have your indexing, basic indexing. But occasionally, you want to take advantage of maybe some opportunity like we've seen recently in lower oil prices. Now, is there opportunity there? Maybe I can buy a more active investment approach by maybe a targeted ETF or buy a few stocks in a certain particular sector, whereas basically I'm indexing, but here's some targeted investments that I think might work. That's what that is. But as soon as you get into that, you get into an area, in my area, managing the risk and managing the portfolio overall as opposed to just buying an index and sitting on it. So I do like that aspect of managing portfolio, managing the risks, because that's where I come in too, managing the risk of an overall portfolio. Most people don't understand how to do that. It's a little bit, it's more work, you know, managing risks that you take. If you index, you're not managing any risk. You're just taking full stock market risk. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. Over long term, that works. Think of it this way. When I say long term, I don't mean 2 years, 5 years. I don't even mean 10. I mean longer than that. Think about our market, the NASDAQ in 2000. It peaked, right, in the early part of 2000. And that was over 5,000. And it just got back to 5,000 yesterday. And now, of course, it's a little bit below that. And it took 14 years just to get even. So when I say indexing in long term, it's got to be long term. Now, the Dow and the S&P, Russell, those things came back faster and been on, you know, pretty good upward stroke, but not the NASDAQ. So that's one of the problems you can get into. Excuse me. So now let's try to get back to our Q&A. We got to do the Q&A. My questions come first. Your questions always come first. Mine come second. I have lots of them. Mark called from San Jose.
I have a question about Autodesk, ADSK. It's a maker of design software. And I own some shares, and I'm just wondering, should I take money off the table or keep it?
Now, Autodesk, for those people who don't know who that is, I still have Alibaba up here. Sorry about that. ADSK is a symbol, ADSK for Autodesk. And they are computer-aided design software, you know, for architecture, engineering, manufacturing. And they are, you almost can say, the only computer-aided design software. There are others, but the Autodesk dominates, $14 billion company. They dominate this area. And I would say this. They're going to make $1.48 next year. They're going to make $1.19 this year. They made $1.17 last year. They made more money in 2013, $1.94 per share. But they're going to make a 2% increase this year. So they're, you know, it's coming back, and the stock reflects it. It's not a great price, and it's now peaked, and it's broken above its resistance, which is right around $62, and it's at $62.70. Unless it breaks below that, I think you hold on to it. You might follow it with a tie stop because it's moved up from $54 to $64 in the month of February, and that's a pretty steep trajectory. You wouldn't be surprised if you get back half of that. But it depends on if you're a long-term holder. Earnings per share, actual earnings per share, quarter over quarter over quarter, haven't looked that impressive. They really have. They've been shrinking. They just say that by the end of the year, it will turn itself around. But it's not a cheap stock either. It's a $62 stock, and it's going to make $1.48. Well, that means it's way overpriced. It's just way overpriced. So, you know, I would take profits at this point. I would take profits. It's because it's so expensive. But I would also not necessarily do it immediately. I would see if it holds above that $62 area. That's a pretty tight stop. If it breaks below that, that's where I take profits. Coming up next half hour, where can you get help filing your income taxes for free? No fee, free. We have a list for you coming up next. A list of where you can get it done for free. And InvestTalk Personal. Of course, there are catches, as you always are. And I'll try to go over some of the catches. If you have a question right now, 888-99-CHARGE, how to reach me on InvestTalk.
If you'd like to see more about KPP Financial Select Portfolios, like our Balanced Income Portfolio, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
And trading foreign currency is not simple, everybody. It's very difficult. Okay, Roth or regular IRA, which is better? And you really, that is not the proper question, not which is better. Which is what? Which should you have? And I've said this before. I think you should have both. I really do. But should you convert your regular IRA to Roth IRA? And many people have regular IRAs, but not Roth. And I can go into the benefits of each. You know, we've done that often. But this is where I think you have some good reasons to convert. Okay, you can convert if you think you're going to make a lot of income in the upcoming period, next year after, you think your income's really going to dramatically increase, then you should convert some of your regular IRA to Roth IRA. Keep yourself in a lower tax bracket, because remember, you got to pay taxes. That money has to be added to your adjusted gross income. So you're going to have to pay income tax on every dime you convert. You don't have to convert at all either. Also, you may want to convert if you have very low income and you're in a very low tax bracket. But remember, every dime you convert is added to your income. Therefore, you don't want to be bumped up in the next tax bracket because you converted too much. And you convert for estate planning purposes, thinking about your overall estate. You know, why do I like both? Because in retirement, there's no taxes to be paid at all on any of the growth in a Roth. Any money you take out of a Roth is not taxed. Any money you take out of a regular IRA or 401k, that is income to you, and you can pay income tax. So if you have both in retirement, you can manage your tax consequences a little bit by taking money out of the Roth that you might need to spend and maybe a little bit less out of the regular IRA so it doesn't increase you into another tax bracket. You can manage it. That's why I like it. You get to manage your tax consequences to some degree. Not completely. Here's a question that came in from a podcast listener. Do you think it's a good time to make a trade on the VXX at $26.10? Well, was that what VXX is now? It was at 20. It's today closed at 27.28. That's, of course, the 26.10 is the most recent low. What level should I get in? Great show. I listen every day. Thanks, Deep. I would get in now. I would start buying the VXX because when the market falls or corrects, this thing will spike like it's done every time. The trick is you got to be pretty quick. You can't be, you know, when it spikes in a few days. You know, a week. Week and a half. You can't like go on vacation, forget about it. You might miss the spike and get out. But I do think this is low enough to be start thinking about purchasing. What I look at is I look at the actual VIX, which is the VIX, which is priced a little different than the VXX, which is the ETF for the VIX. But I look at the actual index also as well as that. But it's right close to where its lows. If you take a look at a chart, this is right where it gets down. It can go a little bit lower, and it wouldn't be surprised if it did. If it goes a bit lower, that means people are more confident and the market's gone up. This works on volatility. That's what this index is all about. You're trading volatility. It's for active traders, not buy and holders or anything like that. Don't even think about it. It would make no sense to buy this as a long-term investment because it wouldn't work. It won't work. Let's go to James in New York. How you doing, James?
I'm good. How are you, Sam?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good, good. I have a mutual fund that I've selected recently to get some small cap exposure, and it's titled SWSSX, the Schwab product. Apparently, I like Schwab and what they offer, so I went ahead and selected that for some small cap exposure and wanted to see how you would evaluate that option.
I like the small cap exposure. You should have a exposure to small, mid, and large cap. And it depends on how big of exposure, because, James, this will be more volatile, okay? That means more volatile means it will go up faster when the market goes up, but it will also go down faster when the market goes down. So you just have to be prepared for that volatility. And, you know, if you are, then then there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this. It's a Schwab Small Cap Index Select, it's called, SWSSX, okay? S is in Sam, W, Sam, X is in X-ray. Okay. So I like it. James, I think you did fine. How much percentage of your portfolio did you buy?
Actually, I just put a small bit in there. I would say that probably they're very small. But I'm looking into some other options, too. I like Vanguard's offerings. I think they have a lot of good stuff there. And Fidelity as well. But I recently just dumped a Pacific Life holding, which I wasn't really too fond of, so I'm trying to put my money into some mid caps with Vanguard.
I do like Vanguard because they are very inexpensive, you know, as far as an indexing. Vanguard is the least expensive, you know, because every mutual fund has a fee, but Vanguard is the cheapest. It's one of the reasons why I like Vanguard. James, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We want to make the most of the money you've already earned and get it working harder for you if we can. The goal, of course, is to be financially independent by the time you want to retire. And wanting to retire or retirement is not necessarily a stop working altogether. You can work in retirement and be very fulfilled. It's doing what you want to do. So let's work on that together. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
It's a one-hour version of our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, and you can sign up for free. It's a wealth webinar coming March 19th. Learn how to make the most of the changes in oil prices, opportunities, and cautions. It's coming up March 19th at 6:30 Pacific Time. It's free again, and you can sign up right now on investtalk.com.
Hi, guys. This is Gary from Massachusetts. I listen to your show by podcast. And before I ask my question, I'd just like to say it's probably the best financial podcast that I listen to. And my question today is on Abbott Laboratories, ABT. I'd like to know what you think of the valuation at this point. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. Abbott Laboratories. I like Abbott Laboratories. I think they're a very good company. They're out of Illinois, develops generic pharmaceuticals, diagnostic systems, nutritional supplements, and vascular and orthobotic products. It's a huge company, $71 billion. So it's not going to be a growth company. You can't buy it for growth, even though it is growing, but it's growing very, very slow. It's not a growth company. It pays a 2% dividend. And the problem you have is it's gone from a little like $35 to $47 in a year. So it's done quite well in the last year. And when a stock price goes up like that, the dividend yield goes down. Higher the price, the yield goes down. Because remember, they pay dividends in dollars, right? So if you pay a dollar dividend on a $10 stock, that's 10%. But if that stock goes to $20 a share, that same dollar is only 5% yield. Same dollar dividend, though. So that's why the yield goes down and the stock price goes up. They're going to make $2.15 this year. They're going to make $2.49-ish next year, up 9, 10% year after year after year. Pretty consistent. It's just for a very good, solid company, but for a non-growth company, you know, a 24 PE is kind of on the expensive side. Okay? That's its high PE in the last 5 years. So if it makes 241 next year and it gets another, if it give you that a 20 PE, that's a $48 stock. It's at 47. See, that's why it's difficult for me to say go out and buy that now. It's a little expensive. I think it's a great company, though. I'd have it on my watch list. If it weakens or gives me a buy opportunity, I'd buy it. Dan, San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, real good. How about you, Steve? You okay?
Well, I am now. I had pneumonia, but now I don't.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, your voice didn't sound too good for a while.
Yeah, it kicked your butt, I'll tell you that. Thanks, Dan, for calling. Thanks for the thought.
Hey, wait a minute. Steve?
Yeah. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I was calling about GGN.
Okay. You want to buy it or you already own it?
Well, it's in a 5-year downhill, you know, decline, but it seems to be leveling off right now. Maybe gold's found a little bit of a base.
I think it has.
I was thinking of getting taking a small position, mainly looking at the dividend kind of thing.
Okay. I actually think that's
you think now might be a time?
Yes. I'm going to say yes. GGN, everybody. It's GAMCO Global Golden Natural Resources, closed-end fund investing in equity securities of companies engaged in the gold and natural resource industry. It fell because all last year, all gold positions fell. GGN is the symbol. And it fell to a low of, gosh, $6.25 or so. I mean, really down there. And it bounced now. That was in December. And ever since December, it's been slowly creeping up. It's at 7.55. Went mostly sideways this month, okay? But when you're paying a 10% plus dividend, there's a lot of pain you can take while you're collecting that dividend if you're patient, Dan. I looked, it's not paying that dividend based on issuing new shares. It's not issuing new shares. Haven't for several years. So it's paying.
Well, no.
It's making the money. So
yeah, GGN sells options.
Yeah, I know that.
So and people think that you're getting your money back, but you're not. They have to report that as capital gains. So bottom line is, I think I'll start taking a little position here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate it. If gold goes up, this thing is going to look like you're going to be a genius. And it only has to go back up to, what, $10, $10.50? That's a 30% return while you're getting a 10% dividend per year. I mean, it's over a year. But, you know, it was painful to watch it fall last year because I had it last year and it fell and we got out. But it was painful because we watched it fall. I still like it. I like the way they earn their money, earn that dividend. I think it's a nice way to make dividends using options. Now, it's not for the simple, though. It's not for the people that, you know, it's not that simple. I don't think it's simple to do that. It takes a lot of hard work. And Invest Talk Personal, the day-to-day money decisions we make with our personal finances that can help have lasting impact on your personal 401k, retirement account, whatever you want. Let's talk about software, tax software for tax preparation 2015. First, the IRS has that. Did you know the IRS doesn't really offer free filing, tax filing? It doesn't do that. But it does partner with all of the most common companies. You can go to the IRS free file page to learn more. Now, TurboTax is the best known of tax software platforms, right? TurboTax. And they will let you easily file your basic federal income tax or federal taxes online for free. Additionally, it includes support for earned income credits, something that most of the other well-known platforms do not do. Filing a state tax return costs $27.99. So it's kind of like, what? Okay, federal tax free, but if you want to file your state taxes, that's going to cost you $28. Uh-huh. You can't do one without the other. You got to file state. Guess if you're in a state and you don't have any state income tax, great. Then that works. Jackson Hewitt, you see them in Walmart stores. Jackson Hewitt's free offering is similar, with a basic service is free. But if you want a state return, they cost $35, $34.95. H&R Block, filing your federal return is easy, and the state return will cost you $10, less than many of its competitors. Remember, that's only for simple stuff. Its lowest cost paid plan is $20. Tax Act is another one. Tax Slayer is another one. They all have free, but they all have catches too. So just be aware. And, you know, if you have a very simple tax return, you can get free help. Okay? And that's InvestTalk Personal. If you have a question for us that you'd like to ask directly, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the Contact Steve or Contact Justin button. Now, we're going to, you know, we've had a lot of data, okay, for all the month of February talking about January. Then we have a lot of data here Monday also. Now, that's talking about February. This data that's coming in, that has been coming in, has been decidedly weaker than it was and toward the end of the year in 2014. So we're starting off 2015 with a lot weaker data, but don't misinterpret that. The data is still showing growth of our GDP. Still showing growth. So it's not bad data. I've said this before. I want to make sure we all understand and we're all on the same page here that the data is not bad. It's just weaker than it was. And a lot of it is not necessarily of our making. Two things I can point to. One is, well, oil fell sharply. That hurts a certain part of our company. How about the West Coast strike by longshoremen? That kind of hurt. Okay, and a third reason, if you want a third reason, hey, our trading partners are weak. Not helping us or them, and our dollar has gone up because of it. So our exports imports are fine, exports are suffering. Yeah, there's reasons. If you're listening to InvestTalk, our money management firm, KPP Financial, offers numerous different programs suited for different needs and life situations, like our Select Growth and Income program. Take a look. Go to InvestTalk.com. Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Foreign currency markets sound sexy and sophisticated. It's a whole different world from stocks and bonds. But are you ready to trade foreign currencies? That's our talking point on the next InvestTalk. Please join us then.
Okay, voicemail. Let's get one of our voicemail callers in with a question. He called earlier today, 888-99-CHART. Rick called from San Diego.
I went to a hard assets conference a while ago, and some of the guys were talking about, instead of buying stocks, to buy warrants. And I'm not exactly sure what warrants are. Thank you.
A warrant is the right to buy the stock. A warrant is the right to buy stocks. You can get a warrant for like a buck to buy 100 shares or something, or 1,000 shares. So a warrant is the right to buy a stock. And just by you went to a thing called hot assets worries me. Buying warrants is like playing penny stocks. Warrants expire, okay? And as they get closer to expiration, they become worthless, because if they were something, someone would buy the stock. It's a right to buy the stock at many times at a certain price. So yeah, you can trade warrants. You can just, because someone could, you could buy the right to buy the stock in the next 3 years to buy 10,000 shares of XYZ company at a certain price. And yeah, you can trade that. Someone could buy it from you. You could sell it. But it's a very illiquid market. It's very difficult, and you better have lots of knowledge. I would not do it. Anybody who's listening to this radio show probably shouldn't do it, because it takes a lot of practice, knowledge, and information that you don't usually have at your fingertips. Be very, very careful. So why should the housing market possibly take off this year? Doesn't mean it's going to, but I have some sound arguments that may say it will. One of them is the Fed is talking about raising rates maybe this year. Why would that make the housing market take off, rates raising? Because there's a lot of pent-up demand in the millennials and in the age group of 35 to 39, and those people are starting to pick up in their buys. They want to get cheap rates. Maybe, because there's a lot of pent-up demand. They've been renting. If they want to buy at cheap interest rates, they better hurry up and get involved, because maybe next year the Fed says that they're going to raise rates. later on maybe this year. And that will drive up mortgage rates. Meanwhile, it's really cheap right now. So that might be a reason why the housing market could take off this year. And recent new home sales numbers were pretty strong. Existing home sales numbers weren't. They were weaker. But the reason for the weakness? Lack of supply. Not because of lack of buyers. Also in January, have you noticed that the first time, and I can't tell you how long, the salaries actually went up? Yahoo, finally. So maybe more higher salaries, more jobs, maybe we'll have a bump, a significant bump in the housing market. Now, if you ask me, do I think that's going to happen? I would say, I don't think we're going to have a significant jump. I think it's going to be pretty decent, though. It'll be a decent housing market for 2015. A decent housing market, as opposed to weak. It's not going to be weak. Let's go to Nina in San Francisco. How are you doing, Nina? Or is it Nina?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Nina.
Okay.
Thank you. I have a living trust, which I give all my assets, including my property, to best to my kids.
Right.
But a friend of mine told me if still lender can use that trust deed to foreclose the house without the court permission. Is that true?
Ken, are you asking me if your house is in the name of the trust, your trust,
right?
And can a lender foreclose on that house? And the answer is yes, they can. Put it in a trust doesn't mean you get to not pay the mortgage, right? You still got to pay the mortgage. If you decide not to pay the mortgage company can foreclose on that house. Yes.
So that means they stop paying the mortgage, but if they continue paying the mortgage, nothing will happen. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And good question.
Nina, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I apologize. Okay. If you call me tomorrow, send me an email. I'll be happy to answer another question. Before we close for the hour, remember, if you're an employer who'd like to reduce the administrative overhead associated with 401k program, please ask us. We work in conjunction with Paychex. If your 401k is with Paychex already, we can help you with that. So to find out more, just go to investtalk.com and click on the investments tabs. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.